It would be good today if you could open your Bible to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and we're continuing to read and study here the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ as we're going through the Gospel of John. Chapter 19, verse 1, "Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him." Now, he had already said, over in the 18th chapter, he had already said, "I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him whatever." And then he offered to release him and crucify Barabbas. And he offered to give them their choice as to who they would have released on that Passover time. But they chose Barabbas to be released into the society, a robber, an insurrectionist, a horrible criminal, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ being released. Therefore, he was left in the hands of Pilate, for Pilate to be his judge. Well, Pilate was his judge at the time. Pilate bears the responsibility for what he did. And then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, if he was not guilty, he could find no fault in him, what were the grounds on which he scourged him? Well, frankly, he had no grounds for that whatsoever. He scourged him trying to pacify and please the people, hoping, and I feel sure that he was hoping. We find in the account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that Pilate's wife sent him a message that she had had a dream and that he was not to have anything to do with killing this just man. And I'm sure that troubled him. I'm sure that had some bearing upon his thinking during this time. And so he scourged him, probably thinking that maybe the Jews would be satisfied with that if he just got a good Roman scourging. Now, he certainly did not have a legitimate reason to do so. But, of course, he was only fulfilling the Scripture, God knowing that it would be done, prophesied in the Old Testament that he would be scourged and that he would be beaten and that he would be crucified. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Now, all of this is done in mockery. Every bit of this is done in mockery because he claimed to be king. Well, he was right. He is king. This kingdom, he told Pilate, is not of this world. He said if his kingdom were of this world, then his subjects would fight. But his kingdom is coming later on. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, will one day sit upon the throne of his father David in Jerusalem and rule this earth 100% a theocracy, God in charge completely through Jesus Christ on the throne of David. He is a king. He did not deny being a king. And since he had claimed that he was the king and was the coming king of Israel, the soldiers evidently had heard that and picked it up somewhere, and they planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. In other words, it was for two purposes. It was to cause more suffering by the thorns piercing his brow, and it was to be a mockery of the fact that he claimed to be a king. And then they put a purple robe. Now, purple, of course, is the color of royalty. So they put a purple robe on him. And he certainly deserves that purple robe of royalty, for he truly is God. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's going to be like before the judgment bar of God when these soldiers stand there having rejected God, having rejected Jesus Christ, and having actually smitten the face of him who died to save them from their sins? You say, "Oh, preacher, that's a terrible thing for those soldiers to slap Jesus and smite him on the face and spit upon him as they did. That is an awful thing. It's not any worse than some of you are doing. It's not any worse than some who I'm talking to today have done. You have just as well spit in his face. You've laughed at him. You've rejected him. You've turned him down. You've turned down his offer of redemption. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and let you know that you were a lost sinner, let you know that you're not saved, let you know that you needed Christ as your Savior, and you rejected him. You said, I'll not have this man to rule over me. And that's the same as smiting him in the face. You said, I turn him down. I don't want his way. I want my way. I want the way of the world. I want the way that I please to go. I don't want him ruling over me. And frankly, you have put him down just as bad as the man or the soldiers here who smote him with their hands on the face. You are no better than they are. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, I'll say it again then. You are no better than they were when you reject the eternal Son of God, when you turn him down. And I do hope that will cause you to think, what have I really done? I thought I was just waiting a while. I thought I was just deciding whether I wanted that religion or not. No, my friend, you're deciding whether or not you want Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, to be Lord in your life. That's what you're deciding. And it's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing, for it is an eternal thing. If you reject Jesus Christ right on until you die, you will die without him and go to an eternal, everlasting, burning, fiery hell. And I plead with you today, don't put yourself in the place of these soldiers and these high priests who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, or Pilate, who was so weak and so absolutely wimpy. Even though he was a great Roman ruler, he was so indecisive and so, absolutely unable to make a proper decision until he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though that was a horrible thing, you have done just as horrible thing if you reject him and turn down his offer to you of salvation. He comes to you and offers you salvation right now. If you receive it right now, you may have it. You may be born again. You may go to heaven when you die. If you reject it right now, then there is no chance for you unless you continue to live. But if you die, if you were to die today, tomorrow, next day, without Christ, you'd go to an eternal hell. And God doesn't promise you another chance. He doesn't promise you that he'll keep on calling. If he's calling you right now, you had better take advantage of that call and receive him as your Savior. We have any number of small pamphlets and little booklets and tracts and various written material and even audio material that we can use to help you if you are desirous to be saved, you want to know Christ as your Savior, then write and ask for help, and we'll be sure and get you some help. One way or another, we'll try our very best to help you find the Savior that we know and that we love, and the Savior of eternal life.